Morning, guys. Lekker, man. It's good to be able to be here with you this morning and just to share what I really feel the Lord is saying to us, something I've been feeling for the last couple of weeks. In fact, in the beginning of the week, I wasn't sure what I was going to preach. It was one of two things. It was either about prayer or it was about the things that everybody's been talking about now. It says in the Bible, we all bring a part, and we only see in part. And so I only see a small part, but as I hear Sam and Joe and all the others bringing their parts, it makes a bigger picture. But I was talking with Bjorn. I want to ask Bjorn to come up. I had a coffee with him in the week, and I shared with him, and I said, listen, I'm either preaching about this, about prayer, or I'd like to preach about fear and weakness. And he said, yo, Uncle Dex, I've got a picture that I see that the Lord showed me. So I want to ask him to come and share that before we get started.
So I'm going to look at my phone just because I was told to make notes on it. Two weeks ago, we were doing worship and I just had this really cool encounter with the Lord, and he was showing me many things in my life. And one of the things that he showed me was a picture of a rose bush that looks and smells like really nice and attractive. And you would look at it and just be like, that's a very beautiful rose bush. But underneath, roses have thorns and things that can hurt you underneath. And you're showing me that I'm much like that rose bush. About 2 weeks ago, I would describe myself as like a walking bag of insecurities. How I'm like the rose bush is that I used to put on fronts and I'd overcompensate for just how I felt and how I saw myself. So like how the roses look nice and smell nice and are attractive, I'm generally a loud person, but I'd make myself louder, and I'll make sure that I dress in a certain way, or make sure that everything's nice and clean, or, yeah. And underneath all of that was all these insecurities where I was so unsure of myself. If I didn't look good, I wasn't good. If I felt less manly than another guy, it was like, you're nothing. If I couldn't pick up a weight that's heavier than another guy, you're nothing. So I felt like I needed to put this on, look good, and put together well. But I would second guess everything. And the Lord really showed me that my confidence should be found in Him, and that my security is found in Him, and that it's the image that the Lord sees me in, and how He feels about me, not how I feel about myself.
Thanks, man. Well done. Praise the Lord. Cool. So, yeah. So, a while back, I was praying about and just an insecurity in my life, something that the Lord revealed to me. And, you know, sometimes these things get revealed when we hang out with our friends. And a friend will say, hey, Declan, you know, I see this in your life. And I'm like, yo, that hurt. Let me just show you 14 things about yourself. But it was really a pain. And I went home that night. And I really thought about this. And the next morning in my quiet time, I mean, I was so shattered that night, there was no quiet time. But the next morning in my quiet time, I really cried out to the Lord. And I said, Lord, this is insecurity in me. This is fear. And this is anxiety, God, that is keeping me from being more for you. And that is keeping me actually from being myself. Lord God, will you please help me? And that insecurity for some of us is different things. For some of us it's just that knot in the stomach when we have to face something, when we have to go into a meeting, or when we want to share a word at comm, you know, what are the people going to say? You know? When you want to bring something, am I going to be accepted? Or there's that fear of rejection. Because maybe years ago, something happened in your life and you were rejected and you were hurt. And I want to share with you about that insecurity, something that happened in my life. Years back, how the enemy comes and he puts fear into you and puts insecurity, instills it into you when you're a little child. And so I want to share a story with you. I was 10 years old, 1981, and I was in school. And there was this teacher, and he didn't like me very much. And in the woodwork class, he used to come up to me and he used to grab me by my shirt. And then he used to knock me on my chest and said, Declan, you have not done your work. And he used to keep on and keep on. And eventually I had a bruise on my chest. I went home with a bruise and he used to do this to me. And I remember thinking, yes, this guy doesn't like me. And I remember feeling the embarrassment and the hurt from that. And years later, I come into the church and there's that old wound. And I must say, sometimes on the outside, I've got all the roses. It's good. And I'm preaching and teaching and making hallelujahs. But inside there's a hurt from a wound that happened a long time ago. And every now and again, the Lord will come and he will look at all of those roses of ours and he'll say, wow, that's great. You know, there's that verse that says, the lines have fallen for me on pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. And sometimes we are in that place where, wow, it's beautiful. And I was just thinking of Byron and Zarina when they got married and they came back to church and they were smiling. And we had a prayer time and Byron was praying. He's just newlywed and he was like, oh, Lord, you're so good. And Zarina's like, I'll give you amen there. And they were just so in love and God had done something wonderful in their lives and the lines had fallen from them in pleasant places and they were beaming. And then 2 weeks later I saw Byron again and he had a look on his face that said the Lord is doing a deep work. That look had changed. But you know what? He presents himself available for the Lord to come and to do that work. I just want to open this bottle of water. It's almost finished. Come on. So I want to say we do walk around with these insecurities. We do walk around with these fears. There is that big rose bush where we look fantastic and wonderful and we're doing all these great things for the Lord. And sometimes we're really confident in certain circles, but in other times we're not. And as parts of us, there are parts of us that haven't died yet. It says in the Bible that unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. If it dies, it bears much fruit. And there are parts of us that need to die. Where the Lord comes to revisit those parts in our lives that need to die. And it's a process. And the Lord, it says, then it bears much fruit. And the Lord wants us to bear fruit. And I want to say there are degrees of death as you mature. Some of us have died a lot more to our insecurities, to fears, and others still need to die. And some of us still need to die to those weaknesses. But I want to say this, that word that came, that Joe sang about God chooses the weak things. He chooses the foolish things. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 25, I think. It says, God chooses the foolish things and he chooses the weak things of the world to confound the wise. But even as he chooses us, there is a process in our lives that he takes us through. The rose bush is amazing, but sometimes the Lord will see that and he'll see, wow, you're 70% beautiful. You know, it says in the Bible, he takes you from glory to glory, from strength to strength. And he gives you beauty for ashes. But to get you there, he has to deal with those thorns. He has to remove some thorns. And I want to say today that we feel that the Lord is wanting to do that today. To deal with that fear, to deal with that insecurity, to deal with that anxiety. And he'll come and do that by his Spirit this morning. For some of us, it's a process. He allows it to happen. We're going to get to that. But sometimes he comes and delivers you immediately of that thing. And there's a way to do it. And we're going to see how we're going to do it. Okay. And I want to say, when I came into the church and when I had those wounds, I remember that teacher that used to knock me on the chest. And then I used to look at other leaders and elders and think to myself, in the back of my mind, are they the same? Maybe they're the same. Maybe if I do something wrong in the church, if I bring something, if I share something, if I talk in community, maybe I'm going to get that. Declan, what are you doing? You know, Declan, we don't actually like you. Declan, you're not actually welcome here. It's amazing how one man can talk to a little child and break that child down. It says in the Bible we have the power of the tongue can bring life or death. But it's those hurts that I do believe the Lord is wanting to deal with in our lives. Can we get an amen? Come on. I'm going to go over a lot of things here. Go past a lot of things. So, I mean, there's two ways to deal with these things. We can either cover them up, we hide them, and we go about business, and we keep showing off the roses. Or we can present ourselves to the Lord. We can deal with that pain. We can deal with that fear. And, hey, I don't want to talk just about the fear. I want to talk about what the Lord wants to do and how he wants to help us through the fear. And I know that we don't always have that fear all the time. It comes sometimes. For me, it'll come sometimes. Maybe I can speak to a whole church. But sometimes when we're in a small group and there's leaders that are more mature than me, sometimes I feel that knocking. You know, Declan, there's a sense of punishment, fears to do with punishment. And I'm not totally delivered of all those things. But I do rest in the fact that God chooses the foolish things and the weak things and the despised things. Because when we are weak in him, shoo, then he comes in power. Amen? But I want to say that in every situation, and this is something I want to share with you, in every situation that you find yourself in where there's a fear in your life or you're going through something and you are struggling with something, you know, it's lovely to go to people and get help and to get advice and wisdom. But the best is for you to start with the Lord. It's between you and Jesus Christ. It's you crying out to the Lord and saying, Lord, this is something that I'm struggling with. And then wait and see how it comes through for you. I've never heard of somebody that's cried out to their father and the father's ignored them. I mean our heavenly father. Not our biological fathers. Because they're not perfect. So just quickly, three people in the Bible that cried out to the Lord and he heard them and it came through for them. The first one was Hannah in 1 Samuel. For years she'd been crying out to the Lord to have a child and she just couldn't have a child. And one day the priest came up to her and said to her, Hannah, why are you drunk in the temple? She was mumbling and she said, my Lord, I'm not drunk, I'm pouring out my soul. And as she poured out her soul, the Lord saw that and the Lord came through for her and he brought a breakthrough after many years. But there was a pouring out of her soul. I want to say that's one thing for us to do. Pour out your soul before the Lord. Get on your hands and knees. Cry out to God for the thing that is bothering you. 2 Samuel chapter 22. You can go there on your own sometime and read about King David, how all his enemies were around him. For us, sometimes it's the insecurities and the fears and the things that bother us. And it says he cried out to the Lord and the Lord heard him. It says that actually the Lord mounted the cherubim and he flew and he soared on the wings of the wind. He came and he made a spectacle. I'm telling you, when you cry out to God, he does something miraculous. He does something spectacular, something dramatic. And in 2 Kings 20, Hezekiah, when the Lord said to him through the prophet Isaiah, you are going to die, get your house in order. And Isaiah left him. And that man began to cry. And he wept before the Lord and he said, God, please. And the Lord said to Isaiah, before he was out the courtyard, go back. And tell that man, I've heard his cry. I've seen how he has wept bitterly. I'm going to add 15 years to his life. I'm going to pray that prayer when I'm 80. And then when I'm 90. But these are things that we need to put into practice. Call to me, it says in Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3, and I will answer you. Call to me. There's something that must come from us between you and the Lord as you struggle. Call to him. Make it personal. He says, call to me, and I will answer you. And I'll show you great and hidden things you have not known. Great and hidden things you have not known. And so for me, on my knees a few weeks ago, I'm crying out to the Lord. And as I'm on my lounge floor, and I'm crying out to God, and I'm saying, Lord, I've got this fear and this anxiety, and it comes up every now and again. And Lord, I'm tired of living with this, and it's really getting me down, and I can't do more. And I feel so less, and I feel so inferior sometimes. And I feel the Lord saying, in that moment, my grace is sufficient. In other words, my supernatural power to help you is enough. I don't have to totally deliver you, but my supernatural power to help you is enough. And like with some words, you only see in part, and I realize that I need to actually go look at this word. Because that's actually, although it says my grace is enough, that word's not enough for me. You know, sometimes the Lord gives you a word and you have to go actually read the whole chapter. And then he begins to speak to you. And as I read over this portion of scripture, the Lord gave me a few things to help me. And I believe that the Lord wants to give us a few handles this morning and a few encouragements just to help you with that fear. Amen? Are you ready? And so that scripture is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I think it's in verse 9, but we're going to go read from verse 1 to verse 10. And the heading is Paul's visions and his thorn. Paul was a man that had many visions. He had done a lot of things for the Lord. Excuse me. He was very anointed. He raised people from the dead. He established churches, and he was a man that could become very prideful. I am the bomb. I'm the man. And so the Lord had to give him something just to put him on his place, just to keep him crying out to him. So that's the background of the story. But I'll read it for us. And he says, I must go on boasting. I'll change the heading. I said that Declan's roses and his thorn. But you can put your name there. Your roses and your thorn, or your thorns. Okay, so he says, I must go on boasting. Though there is nothing to be gained by it, I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man was caught up into paradise. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And he heard things that cannot be told, which man may not utter. I mean, I think this man had reason to be prideful, actually. On behalf of this man, I will boast, but on my own behalf, I will not boast, except of my weaknesses. Though if I should wish to boast, I would not be a fool, for I would be speaking the truth, but I refrain from it, so that no one may think more of me than he sees in me or hears from me. And so it was from here on that I felt the Lord began to speak. So, to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited, to keep me from becoming prideful. Are you with me, Nick? 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships. How's that? I'm content. I'm at peace with that. With weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. In another version, it's disasters. I mean, I'm feeling insecure sometimes, but actually, I need to be content with that, knowing that Christ's power will rest on me. For when I'm weak, then I am strong. So there are 3 points that really ministered to me. And the first point is in verse 7. To keep me from becoming conceited, a thorn was given me in the flesh. In other words, yo, thank you, Jesus. The Lord knows what happens when we become conceited, when we become prideful, when we become full of, I don't need God anymore. Because everything is smooth. My social life is good for the married people. My love life is good. My relationship is good. All these things are great. I'm flying. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places, and you become prideful. And that started with the devil thousands of years ago in heaven. He was the most beautiful of all the angels, and he got to a place where he said, I don't need God. Look at me. Look what I've done. And he used to usher in the presence of God into heaven. Look at me now. Look what I've become. Who needs God? Everything has fallen for me in pleasant places, and I am the man, or I am the woman. I don't need God. And God shot him. He shot him out of heaven because he became conceited, because he became prideful. And to protect us, in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18, it says, pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. So for the Lord to keep us from becoming prideful and to have an attitude of, oh God, I don't need you, he allows some of those thorns to remain in you. He allows that insecurity or that fear sometimes, that anxiety, maybe that addiction, that thing that you're struggling with. He allows it sometimes to stay inside of you, to protect you from becoming conceited so that he doesn't have to cast you out of his presence. What a good God. And there are so many people in the world today that have that attitude. They don't know Christ. And the attitude is, I don't need him. I don't need him. But I'm really trusting today that the Lord is speaking to those today that don't know Christ. and that you will know that you do need him. It says in the Bible, without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. Your sins are not forgiven unless you come to Christ and his blood washes over you, unless you come to Jesus for forgiveness. And I really want to pray that today, that if that's you today, you will say, Lord, I do need you. When Satan was cast into hell at the end of time, in Revelations, it says that the smoke of his torment rises day and night forever and ever. Him and the beast and all those that have got the mark of the beast and the 666 and all those that have said, I don't need God. Just like Satan, just like the beast, just like the false prophet. I don't need God. And that's a horrible place to be, where the smoke of the devil's torment rises day and night forever and ever. Cool. Exodus 23 from verse 28 to 29. Just on the vein of the Lord allowing things to plague us sometimes, the Lord allowing things to bother us. And I will send hornets before you. He's talking about his people, the Israelites, which shall drive out the Hivites, the Canaanites, and the Hittites from before you. I will not drive them out before you in 1 year, lest, or for fear, the land become desolate and the wild beasts multiply against you. The Lord in his wisdom says, I won't deliver you of all these things in one go, because the wild beasts of the field will come and they will devour you. If I deliver you from everything in one go, you won't be a people that prays to me, because the Lord is looking for some warriors in his kingdom. You won't be a people that cry out to me. You won't be a people that need me, that are desperate for me. And sometimes we, Lord, but would you please remove this thorn from me, because it's such a hindrance. And I think sometimes the Lord will say, no, I'm using that thorn to work on our relationship. I'm using the thorn for your prayer life to increase. I'm using the thorn to teach you how to be accountable and not to keep those thorns in the dark, but to bring them out into the open. I'm using those very thorns that you want me to get rid of. I'm using them to shape you and to mold you. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. In Judges chapter 3, the Lord says that he especially left the enemy close by to his people for two things. One is to teach them warfare. One is to teach them warfare, how to wage war, how to pray, how to worship, how to seek the Lord. And the other one is to see, to test them, to see if his people would obey what he said in the word. And even as the Lord speaks to us out of his, word this morning, he will test us as we have these enemies in us. These are enemies of God, fear, anxiety. He will test us to see the things that he says to us in his word, are we going to put it into practice? James 1:22, do not merely listen to the word of God and so be deceived and get a couple of goosebumps, but do as it says, as hard as it is. I've had to come to my fellow elders and tell them, guys, I've just seen so much pride and so much arrogance in you. I've seen so much pride and so much arrogance in me. And these are the things I'm dealing with. This is the fear. And they get around me, and the wisdom comes, and the power of God comes to help me. Amen? God opposes the proud, James chapter 4, verse 6, but he gives grace, supernatural power to the humble. Can you say amen? So he wants to teach you how to fight. You get into that quiet place, and you fight, and you cry out to God about that thing, and see how he answers you, and how he comes through for you. Amen? So I want to say that some things you will leave, some things you'll take away immediately. I remember for 5 years in this church, I was struggling with addiction, with crack cocaine, rocks. Somebody said, whoa. And I used to cry out to God all the time, God, help me with this thing. It's killing me. It's destroying me. Am I ever going to come right, God? I've been struggling with this thing for so long. And for 5 years, the Lord kept that thing, that thorn in my flesh. He could have delivered me on the first day. No, there's a story about the man that the Lord speaks to. He says, I want you to go out your cave every day, and I want you to push that big rock. And after 6 months, he says, Lord, I've been pushing this for 6 months now, and this rock hasn't moved. And the Lord says to him, I didn't ask you to move it. I just asked you to push. I just asked you to push to make you strong, to make you trust me, to cause you to be a person that perseveres, to cause you to be a people that endures through the hardship. Amen? Push. So I remember when I was addicted to those drugs, I was in my mother's garage and I was smoking a cigarette. Double clutch. And as I'm smoking, I'm thinking to myself, when is this temptation going to come again? When is this pull going to come again? Because when it does, I'm going straight to the dealer, I'm buying crack, and I'm selling my motorbike, I'm losing everything. And then I'm starting from scratch again. Coming back to church next Sunday, guys. I messed up again. And as I'm thinking that, after 5 years, I feel the Lord take that addiction right out of me. Gone. Just gone. I was like, praise the Lord. But you know what? He didn't deliver me from the cigarettes. But he delivered me from that one thorn, that crack. He delivered me from that. And 3 years later, 3 to 4 years later, only the cigarettes. Then he delivered me from that. And he said to me, I want you to lay that thing down. The drugs I took from you, some things you can't do anything about. You need me to take it from you. You need to bring it and present it and cry out for it, and I'm going to take it. But some things you need to lay down. There are some things that you need to lay down. So I took those cigarettes and I put them down. It was terrible. I struggled for 6 months. After a meal, I want to smoke. I was smoking from 10 years old, so it was a bit difficult for me. But there are some things you will take immediately, and I think he's going to do that today. I think the Lord's going to do that today, where he's going to come and deliver you from certain thorns. Take those thorns away. One of the reasons why he wants to take those thorns away is so that you can bear more fruit. Already you're bearing fruit. Already it says in John 15 that his word has washed you and made you clean. But those deeper thorns he wants to deal with, if you will allow him. So the second key in verse 9, it says, therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And that was a real key for me, a real eye-opener for me. And I realized at the time that, you know what? I haven't been boasting in my weaknesses like I did before. I've been keeping it a bit quiet. I've been hiding it in the roses. I've been, hallelujah. But inside there were some hurts and some pains that I had to deal with. And I realized that I had to boast a bit more in my weakness. That the Greek word for the boast is to glory in. Is to find something that you can revel in, that you can praise God for. And there's a sense of, I am weak. I want to actually boast in that, because I know that when I do that, the word says his power will come on me. And I want his power to come and set me free. I want his power to come and help me. So in order for me to do that, I have to boast. And one of the ways we boast and glory in it is we expose it. We be vulnerable with it. We bring it before the Lord. And so I'm happy to go to my fellow elders and even the guys that I meet in the week for coffee, and I'm happy to speak to them of my weaknesses, because I realize that as we speak of our weaknesses to each other, Christ's power comes and he sets us free. Amen? That is a key for us to do, to boast in our weaknesses. Pride will tell you to keep that thorn hidden, that you don't tell anyone. No, you tell everyone, and you expose that so that Christ's power can come. He chooses the weak things of the world to confound the wise. He chooses the foolish things. When I heard that word this morning, I was like, jeez, that's me, Lord. I feel so foolish. I feel I can't come and preach here in my own strength or my own power. I must just be so weak before the Lord. Sure. But as we share, and as we boast, as we expose and we be vulnerable, God's power comes. When we acknowledge that we are weak, his power comes. I remember years back, still in the church, again, struggling with drugs within those 5 years, and a couple of guys from the community came to a place that I was renting the one night. I was renting a room. And they all came there, and when they left, off to the braai, I had such a strong urge. Such a strong urge to do drugs again. And for the first time, I remember saying this. I was sitting down, and I said, Lord, I am weak. I am weak, God. I know I'm going to mess up. And you know what? That night, I didn't mess up, because I told him I'm weak. Sometimes you can be weak, and he knows you're weak, but you need to open your mouth. You need to come before the Lord. And that Monday morning, somebody came to pick me up and they said, Declan, I want you to come look at some work with me at the naval base in Simonstown. Some work for you to do. So I went through with him in his bucky. And on the way there, going through Grassy Park, I looked on the left and there was all this, you know, this graffiti on all the walls. And there was this big house with graffiti on it, and it said Revelation 3.8. And it just ministered to me, whatever it said. But I looked it up and it said, I know you are weak. I know you are weak. And there's a coming before the Lord and saying, God, I am weak. And there's a coming before the Lord today. As we pray just now, say, Lord, I am weak. Whatever it might be in you, that insecurity, or that thing that you don't have the power to break it, that addiction, whatever it is, and that fear that you know rises up sometimes, the Lord knows you weak. If you humble yourself before the Lord, James chapter 4 verse 10, if you humble yourself before the Lord, He will exalt you. He will pick you up. Lord, I am weak. He's looking for children like that, that are willing to be vulnerable. Amen? And then the last one was in verse 10, where it says, for the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, with insults, with hardships, with persecutions and calamities and disasters. For when I'm weak, then I can be strong. I want to say that we can be content. We can rest in Him if we do it His way. We can't really be content if we're not following His word. But if we do what His word says, if we are prepared to come before Him weak, if we are prepared to expose those things, His power will come. So actually, even though it is comfortable, the process is definitely comfortable, but it's a good process. Where we present ourselves before Him and say, God, I am weak. I do need your help. Please, Lord. And then His power comes to rest on us. Can you say amen? Amen. So 3 points I want you to remember. To keep you from becoming conceited, which saves you actually from being destroyed. Pride comes before destruction. Thank you, Lord, for these thorns. Number two, boast in your weakness. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. I've exposed what the Lord has revealed, because it's the Lord that reveals those things to you. And because I exposed it, His power can come. And then to be content. To be content. And I want to say, make it an ongoing process in your life. 1 Chronicles 16:11, seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His presence continually. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His presence continually. Every day I'm finding myself, Lord, I'm feeling a bit anxious. Or Lord, I'm feeling a bit insecure. Or God, I'm going into this meeting. I'm not. Every day, seek the Lord and His strength and seek His presence continually. And I want to say it feels like a burden sometimes when you have to pray. But I think it was Smith Wigglesworth that says, he doesn't often pray for a whole half an hour, but he doesn't often let the half an hour go without praying. It's just little prayers. Lord, I need you. Connecting with Him. Amen? Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His presence continually. Cool. Can I ask the worship team to come up? Worship team, can you please come up? I first had to ask and then I asked. But I do believe that the Lord wants to deal with those things this morning. And He wants to deal with some weaknesses where we are weak, where there's insecurity. But you know what He requires of us? Is it Micah chapter 6 verse 8? That you love justice, or you act justly, you love mercy and kindness, and you walk humbly before your God. That you walk humbly before your God. That you don't cover up those thorns. You expose them. Now the Lord knows what they are in your life. And we're going to pray just now and ask that. I'm going to ask you to come to the front. You know, those fears, those things, they prevent you from doing so much more for the Lord. You know, it's like a dog with a leash. You can go so far around the yard. But when that chain is cut, the dog can go so much further. You want to say one thing, Nick, please?
Just before we move forward into ministry time, I've been pondering on this thing for a few weeks about weakness, And I think even when you try and lead something, people assume that you're strong, but I'm very weak. And my prayer to the Lord is all the time, Father, strengthen me, because I can't do this thing outside of Him. And you don't want me to do it in Nick. You want me to do it in Jesus for your own sake. I tell you that. But that's not the point I wanted to make. When we call out for ministry, when we open up, the presence of the Lord is amongst us and there is a time for us to respond. We often see people that you think should respond, don't respond. And I used to be in that place where all those that are wrestling with weakness, won't you come forward? And you stand at the back going, I'm not going forward. Sometimes it's a fear of man. And rather fear God than fear man. You can't please God and man at the same time. Choose God. So there's this humility of, okay, God, I'm going to do this in obedience to you because I'm not scared of what people think. That's one thing, fear of man. And the other thing is this pride. I don't want to do this because I'm scared of what people think of me. So it's rooted in this pride where it's not me, it's everyone else, it's for them. And as leaders, I realize if I'm not coming forward to respond, then I don't know how the people are going to respond. So we lead into these things. So when there's a call to come forward, I come forward because I'm also wrestling with the same things that you wrestle. But also I want to break thing that I'm not scared about what you think of me, leader or not, that I have temptation, I have sin, I have issues in my own heart and weaknesses, and I need to break this thing open for the people that are thinking that I'm not weak or, you know, I'm a superhuman being. But I want to challenge you guys. If you're the person that has been here for years, I don't know, everyone is in a different place and there's a different circumstance for each of us. But if you know that it's you that I'm talking to, that week after week, when there is a call for response, you just don't respond. Or, guys, come out of your chairs just as a symbolic of coming forward towards the Lord. You're like, I'm going to do it in my chair. I will not move. I need you, God, but I'm going to do this thing my way right here. You come here. I'm not coming to you. And the Lord is, you know, humble yourself. Rather fall on the rock, lest the rock fall on you. And I'm very aware of that. God, I don't want you to fall on me. Let me fall on you rather. And the humility is a wonderful place. So that is strength. Humility is real strength, where you just don't give a hoot about people and what they think, and you just come in weakness. Oh God, just, I'm nothing. I need you, my Lord. I need to be saved. I need to be rescued. I need to be delivered. I need to be strengthened. Here I am. Use me.
Awesome. Yeah, that's so good. Why don't you all stand? Those that can stand. Niels, you can sit. Don't you stand. John chapter 15, verse 1. Can you put it up, please, guys? John chapter 15, verse 1, maybe 2 as well. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch, that's you and me, Jesus is the vine. Every branch of mine that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes that it may bear fruit. And there's a version that says, every branch that is in me that does not bear fruit. And sometimes there are some of us that are in the Lord, but we're not bearing fruit, because we're not allowing Him to come into those places. But He wants you to bear more fruit. Why don't we close our eyes? Yeah, so even as Nick was speaking now, and you've heard the word this morning, and you know there are areas in you where there's that anxiety, that fear, that knot in your stomach, that fear of death, fear of suicide, fear of divorce, fear of your family breaking up, fear of your business crashing, fear of that relationship just coming to an end, fear of being rejected by people, being hurt by people. If that's you, I want you to come to the front with me here. You can come now. All of you. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Everybody. And you know there are those times. And so as we pray now, we're going to trust that the Lord comes. And for some of you, He's going to deliver you. That thorn He's going to take out of you. It might, even if it's a demonic spirit, He will take it out of you. Why? Because you have presented yourself weak. You are, in a sense, boasting on your weaknesses so that Christ's power can rest on you. His power, not man's power, but His power. So, Father, we present ourselves to you here this morning in the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of the Lord. There's no greater name, Lord, than the name of Jesus. And so we put all our faith and our trust in you this morning, God, and we come to you with every weakness, Lord, and we come to you with every thorn, every anxiety, every knot, every pain, every fear, God. And we pray, Lord, according to heaven's economy, that as we bring our weakness, you bring power. So would you come now, Lord, by your Spirit, and would you come remove thorns, God, in people? Would you come and remove fears in the name of Jesus Christ? Would you come and remove those thorns, Lord, those things that hinder in the name of Jesus Christ? Lord, would you remove those insecurities? Would you remove that anxiety, God, in the name of Jesus Christ? Let your Spirit come. Let your Spirit come, Lord, and do a deep work. Even as was prophesied earlier, Lord, that you want to do a deep work. Would you come and do that work, Lord? And I just want you in your mind, you don't have to say it loud. I want you to confess to the Lord now. Say, Lord, I bring to you whatever it is, my fear or my anxiety, my insecurity. I bring it to you, Lord. Will you say it now? Say it to Him. Oh, Lord, let your kingdom come, let your will be done. Would you come by your Spirit, Lord, and wash over every person here. Remove every thorn that must be removed, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, pour out your grace, for even for the thorns that you keep in us. Those that are necessary to keep us crying out to you. Those that are necessary, Lord, to get that relationship fiery again. Those that are necessary, Lord, for intimacy, for warfare. Give us grace. Lord God, let your grace come. Let your grace come. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.